Hello, friends. Happy Wednesday evening. It's nice to be here. Yeah, I like seeing you guys. It's lots of fun getting together, isn't it? Hey, Stan. For those of you who don't know, Stan the Man 777 goes to my church. So that's pretty cool. I've seen Stan twice already this week. Hey, Teddy. Hey, Nathan. Hey, everyone. It's great to see you all. Listen, I'm giving you guys a link. This is a link to ReginaDonAkers.com. It goes to a particular page in December 2005 because what we're here for now is what we call Holy Spirit Guides, which is actually something I started, I don't know how long ago, over a year ago, at the request of a friend of mine. She wanted me to start at the beginning of ReginaDonAkers.com and just go through all of the messages in a row, you know, in chronological order. So that's what we're doing. ReginaDonAkers.com actually starts in 2004. And so now we're up to December 2005. So we're starting to make our way through it pretty well. Of course, physically, we're in 2009, so if I keep posting, it means we'll be doing this forever. We'll be doing this forever and ever and ever. But it's lots of fun because these messages, you know, seem to be, quote, old. But the truth is, you know, the Holy Spirit's never old. You know, every time we read these messages, there seems to be something pretty current in them. So it's lots of fun. And most of them I've completely forgotten about, so it's a little bit fun to read them again and to see how Holy Spirit has led me step by step all the way up until now. So, printed and read all of them before finding ACIM Gather. Wow. Oh, I noticed Dove has his hand up, so let me let go of the mic. Oh, maybe he just wants me to read it. Oh, okay.
Several others that you all know. Next week, next Wednesday night at the same hour at 9 o'clock, Mary Beth Scalise will be our guest teacher. Of course, she is the sponsor of the Camp for Miracles, May 8th through 10th in New Hampshire. Back to you, Regina.
Yeah, Camp for Miracles, May 8th through 10th. I'm looking forward to that. That'll be my third year at Camp for Miracles. I'm also going to be in New England, by the way, in April too, April 18th, actually at Teddy's house. Wave, Teddy, say hi. I'll be at Teddy's house with Open Doors. And in fact, Bob Leroy called me today and said it's time we start working on that announcement. So that announcement will probably come out sometime next week. So April 18th at Teddy's house in Quincy, Mass. And then, May 8th, 9th, and 10th up in, New Hampshire with Camp for Miracles. And then let's see, might as well just go through the list. June, June 1 through 5, Pamela Silberman, Cheryl Valentine, Nuke Sanchez, Thomas Vieira, and I will be leading a Course for Miracles week at Omega in Rhinebeck, New York. That's June 1 through 5. That's a full week, and that is a sleepover. All week it's a sleepover. Everybody will stay together in the same building, so that should be fun. And then let's see what's after that. June 27th, just today, I was booked for June 27th at Beaumont Unity in Beaumont, Texas. I was actually there last year at June 26th, so it's kind of an anniversary. But what I understand is since I was there last year, the minister has actually been teaching from NTI from the pulpit. So last year when I came, they didn't have a clue who I was. Roy just wanted me to come. This year, I think they're very familiar with NTI, so that should be a lot of fun. And then I have Be the Love Conference. Be the Love Conference is August 7th, 8th, and 9th in New Windsor, Maryland. And Pamela and Cheryl will both be there with me. Dove will be there with me. Also, Earl Purdy will be there. Donna Marie Carey will be there. Who else will be there? Lots of people will be there. Who else will be there? I can't even remember right now, Pamela. Are you in the room? Yeah, Dove, I said. I knew Dove would be there. Dove would be there. I don't remember who else is there. Oh, John Mulrooney. How could I forget John Mulrooney? He will be there. Nick, I don't know if I know how to say his last name, Nick Arandes or something. He's from Puerto Rico. He will be there. He's new to all of us. He hasn't even been an ACIM gather yet, so he should be a lot of fun. And I think that's it. I think that's the schedule for now. But everything is at reginadonacres.com on the events and gatherings page. So there we go. I did my marketing. I was told last night that I need to do more marketing. Oh, and you will have Nick here soon. Good, so everybody can get to know Nick. But yeah, someone told me recently I need to do more marketing, that I don't do enough of that. So maybe I'll start doing a little more. You know, make sure people know where to go, I guess. I don't know. Okay, so now that that's done, I've given you guys the link to... I've given you the link to December 2005. And what you can do is scroll down from that link to Wednesday, December 14th. There's a pretty long message that we're going to look at called Looking at the Belief in Lack. But of course, before I do that, what I want to do is go and speak to Holy Spirit. So if y'all would join me, I'd really appreciate that. Thank you. Holy Spirit, once again, when I close my eyes with the intention of being with you, speaking with you, the very first thing that I feel is just gratitude. Gratitude for everything you give. So many riches, and I know that I have not yet opened myself up enough to receive all that you want to give. So Holy Spirit, I ask that you lead me, that you help me to put the ego aside more and open up to you more, that I may receive more of what you want to give. Tonight, as we look at these messages on reginadonacres.com, I ask that you help each and every one of us to see what is most useful for us to see right now, and to realize what is most helpful for us to realize today. And I thank you in advance for the marvelous gifts you are going to give us tonight. Amen. All right, there we go. We are done. So, again, we're at a message on Wednesday, December 14th, 2005, called Looking at the Belief in Lack. So, I'll just start reading and we'll see what we have here. Holy Spirit. Oh, I bet Dove prompted this question. I bet I heard Dove saying this, and I probably felt guilty or something and then went and asked the question, because it looks like a Dove quote coming up. It's from the Course, but it's a Dove quote too. Holy Spirit, a question has come into my awareness that I would like to ask. What is meant in A Course in Miracles when it says, make this year different by making it all the same? Make this year different by making it all the same. Answer. This is a statement of oneness. It means, make this year different by seeing it all as one with one purpose. Do not accept that there are different people, different relationships, and different purposes. Do not accept that there are different wills. Accept only one will as the purpose and meaning for all things. Embrace one will in gratitude and joy. Know the complete freedom and total release of joining one will by making that your only choice. Make this year different by making it all the same, is a request that you make the final choice, which reveals the glory and complete freedom of choicelessness, of knowing God in all that is and all that seems to be, until all that seems to be vanishes as all that never was. So that's a pretty complete answer. And to be honest, even though this was written in December of 2005, I've had two experiences today that are described in this paragraph. So see, everything is current. Everything is current when given by the Holy Spirit. One experience that I have was talking to a friend who expressed something I'm sure that we all feel at one time or another, because we are all the same. But this friend expressed how he feels when others, I would say give him advice, when others think they know what is best for him, when others seemingly correct him, if they're right in their correction. They might not even be right in their correction, but in their mind, they're correcting him, correcting his understanding of the Course or the Holy Spirit's teachings. And he talked about how he felt, how much he resented that. In fact, he was very honest. He talked about the hate he actually feels. And I think we can all relate to this. I know that I can. I think we can all relate to this. He talks about the hate that he feels when, in his mind, you know, in our perception, I won't even put it on him because I think we've all felt it, in our perception, when people are talking down to us. And yet I know this person very well, and so I also know that he hears Holy Spirit through a lot of different mediums, and he loves it. I know he gets so excited every time he hears Holy Spirit, every time he hears Holy Spirit through reading a book, when he hears Holy Spirit through a line in a movie, when he hears Holy Spirit through a line in a song, he gets so excited. And so what we talked about is that really the seeming issue, the seeming problem, is that when it comes to bodies, there's an unevenness in his mind. You know, there's an unevenness in his mind. People are not all the same. Either he is above them or they are above him. But always there's a seeming unevenness in his mind. People are never the same. And we talked about learning to just see the Holy Spirit instead of seeing people. You know, like if a body would walk up to him and say the exact same thing that he might hear in a movie or in a song, he might be excited to get that clarity through a movie or a song. But if a body walks up to him and says it, he might feel resentful, feel talked down to. So we talked about seeing, literally, a movie, a song, and a body as the same. Not seeing them as different, as the same. I said, you know, you wouldn't hate a song if a line in a song brings you a message from Holy Spirit. You know? So a body is the same thing. The song is just a vessel or a medium through which Holy Spirit speaks. You know, a movie is just a vessel. A book is just a vessel. And a body is just a vessel. So we really talked about making all things the same by seeing, by hearing Holy Spirit in everything, and letting go of that idea that if a person comes up and says something to me that, you know, they're putting me down or putting themselves above me. And, you know, that's really what this is also saying, you know, although it's not quite that specific, it's saying do not accept that there are different people, different relationships, and different purposes. And all we're adding to that is don't even accept that there are different vessels. A song is not different than a body. They're all just ways for Holy Spirit to talk to us. It's letting go of that idea of personal, and it's just seeing everything in one purpose, which again, this is talking about. It means make this year different by seeing it all as one with one purpose. And it's exactly what we talked about. So if really all I want is to hear Holy Spirit's words, if I only have one purpose and everything in my life has that purpose, then it doesn't matter to me whether I heard what I needed to hear through a song or whether I heard what I needed to hear through a body. I won't assign a different meaning to that. Just make it all the same. Make this year different by seeing it all as one, with one purpose. So that's one experience I had today that I said is in these two paragraphs. The other one you guys might know about because I was so excited. I made a post. I had to jump up and run in here and tell you about it. But I was folding towels, you know, doing laundry. Typically not the most exciting, you know, work in the world. Not the worst either, but not the most exciting. And one thing I've been practicing lately when I can is I've literally been practicing letting Holy Spirit talk to me all the time. You know, just like he was a physical friend following me around, you know, one of those talkative ones that won't shut up. I've been asking Holy Spirit to be the talkative friend that won't shut up. Because when I'm listening to Holy Spirit, I'm not listening to my thinking mind. That's really why. The stillness thing right now, I'm sure it will change, but the stillness thing, I seem to only be able to be still for a little while, and then my thinking mind comes back. But I can literally listen to Holy Spirit for hours, and my thinking mind does not come back. I just listen. Just like I said, it's just like having a chatty Cathy, a real one of those friends that just won't shut up. So I invite Holy Spirit to do that. And when I invite Holy Spirit to do that, Holy Spirit just speaks right up for me. So I was sitting there folding towels and listening to Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit started talking to me about the towels. Holy Spirit reminded me of an experience I had in China a few years ago when the towel rack came alive for me. When as I hung my towel on the towel rack literally came alive for me, and the towel rack began loving me and having gratitude, and it was just very, 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 very alive. And then I went into the motel room, the main motel room, and turned on Chinese MTV and started dancing on the floor, and the floor did the same thing. It became very, very alive, and I felt a lot of love and a lot of gratitude coming from the floor. So that's when I understood that everything is life. There is no such thing as an inanimate object. That's just something we imagine. Everything is life, or you may have heard it said before, everything is light. So today when I was folding towels, Holy Spirit reminded me of that experience and reminded me that I wasn't just folding towels. Really reminded me that I wasn't just folding towels. That it looks like I'm just sitting there folding towels, but in reality, I'm God interacting with God. And then reminded me, you know, I started folding the towels a little differently. You pay a little more attention, you know, when you realize you're God interacting with God instead of a woman folding towels. It's a little different. It becomes a different experience. So I started folding the towels a little differently, putting a little love into the folding of the towels. And then Holy Spirit reminded me, you know, again, that this is an act of devotion now. And he called it the service principle. He said the service principle is that everything is an act of devotion. Every task we perform is God interacting with God, love interacting with love. That's really all that's going on. And when we remember that service principle, everything we do is an act of devotion. And I just felt my heart explode with joy. I was so excited I had to run away from my God towels for a moment. And come in here and make a post and share it with you guys. But look, here it is again. Look at the second paragraph in this message. Make this year different by making it all the same is a request that you make the final choice, which reveals the glory and complete freedom of choicelessness, of knowing God in all that is and in all that seems to be, until all that seems to be vanishes as all that never was, which means until truly God is all that we see. So, yeah, very current stuff. we have more. This is a very long message. It might be the only message we do tonight. That is grandeur, Dev is saying. Yeah, grandeur. So, and I liked it too, because after I made that post, I actually got a couple of messages from a couple of ladies who were also just as excited, because it changes the way we look on these tasks that we think of as mundane tasks, when we remember that they're acts of devotion, that we are God interacting with God. And if we do these seemingly mundane tasks with that love in our heart, with that memory, it changes everything. And there were at least a couple of ladies that emailed me that were quite excited by sharing that principle. Let's see. Dev says, grandeur, which is of God, establishes judgment and choice impossible. Yeah, because God is all we see. That's from the special message that was given to Helen from Jesus in October 1975. And of course, this is the line that Dove opened with when we were in San Francisco a week and a half ago. All right, let's continue then. Let's see what the next question is. So the next question. You recommend, okay, now this is, of course, this, you got to remember, this is way before I had the towel rack experience, the floor experience, the apple experience. You know, I was in a completely different state of mind then than I am now. I had not had these beautiful experiences yet. So I said, you recommend that we see God in all that seems to be? Does that mean that we see God in the ego? And Holy Spirit says, it means that you choose to no longer see the ego because you know it cannot be. And while the illusion persists, or I might even say continues, which it will for a time, you see the reflection of truth as all that is meaningful. And you see anything that seems not to be that reflection as totally without meaning of any kind. Now, I will tell you that at the time that I received this, if you guys know me very well, then you know that often I would receive things from Holy Spirit in words long before they became what I will call the way I actually saw or the way I actually experienced. Receiving it in words seemed to be the first step to later seen that way. But I can, much of the time now, not all of the time, but I can much of the time now, truly, see ego as completely meaningless. In fact, I think maybe most of the time, but I don't want to overestimate myself, so I'll just say much of the time. I can see the ego in myself, in my family, in my friends, and I just don't care. It's meaningless. That's the best word to describe it. It's just meaningless. It has no meaning for me. And I love that. I love that. It's very freeing. I used to think that if I even saw the ego in my brother, I was bad. I thought I wasn't supposed to see the ego. I felt guilty. You know, if my brother got angry, I felt guilty for seeing my brother as angry. That's no longer true. That was, of course, coming from a judgment of the ego as something bad. The ego is not something bad. The ego is just nothing at all. It's just absolutely meaningless. And now I can see my brother angry. I can know my brother's angry. And it doesn't mean a thing to me, and it does not affect my love for my brother. And I like that a lot because it feels a whole lot better. It feels a whole lot better. Now, again, not 100% of the time. I can be caught at the wrong time, but not real often, to be honest. Not real often. I feel like, especially through the help of a couple of brothers in my experience, a couple of brothers who it seemed to me, oops, here comes Jasmine. Hi, Jasmine.
I got off.
You got off what? Oh, Jasmine's watching American Idol, and there was a girl on it named Jasmine. It looks like she is no longer going to be on American Idol, so we've lost. You can watch till 9:30 and then go to bed. It might be over by 9:30. Okay? Give me a kiss.
No, it took half an hour just to announce one.
Oh, it is 9:30. Okay, give me a kiss, and then I got to get back to my teaching, and you go to bed. All right? I love you. I love you. I'll see you in the morning, okay? Okay, as I was saying, there were two particular brothers in my life. You know, we all have those special challenges. Two particular brothers in my life where, oh, I see Stan has his hand up. Wait, I'll tell this story in a moment. Stan, I am going to turn the mic over to you.
Yes, Regina, there's one thing I'm having a hard time to understand. I know in the Course it talks about, you know, all of our reality and all the things in this world, and our reality is not real, that it's just, you know, something our soul made up. And then you say, you know, that certain things in our reality down here is parts of God. Could you explain that to me?
Yes, Dan, I'll do my best. I can do my best. And again, somebody I saw earlier mentioned the apple experience. For me, the apple experience is the best one. You wrote, yes, the apple, so maybe you've heard this experience before. I can't remember if I told you guys this at church or not. But there was the time that I was, I think I did tell you this. Yeah, I did. So I'll just do the abbreviated version then. When my awareness switched into the apple, and I was the apple for those couple of seconds, I could still see, which is really funny because apples do not have eyes. But there's a scene that I would call a spiritual scene, which we're not aware of because we see with eyes. So as an apple, I could see the spiritual scene, and everything was light. But even more than that, everything was in light, and everything had light in it. And there was awarenesses at each of those levels. So there was an awareness, an aliveness, a beingness that I was in, that everything was in. But then also within me as the apple, there was aliveness, beingness, awarenesses. So everything was alive, everything was aware, everything was light. And they also interacted with each other. There was an interaction. They were all the same thing, but there was interaction between them. And all of that interaction just felt like love, love and celebration. Now that's what an apple looked like. And that's what my daughter's teeth looked like. And that's what everything was. So it was all what I would call God. It was all what, you know, from people from our culture would call God. So, you know, this table in front of me is that same thing, but of course I see a table, but the table is not here. That God light is here. That God aliveness is here. That God beingness is here. Everything is. Yeah, somebody says your shoes. I always tell people the chair you're sitting in, think about it. The chair you're sitting in right now is that same God life that the apple was, that same God life that the towel rack was in China, the towel rack that loved me, and the floor that loved me. So, you know, I don't know if the word world is appropriate, but you could say there really are two worlds. We see one, but right there where that one is, there's a whole nother world, and that's a God world. And some people would call that heaven. So we could literally see heaven and earth are one. You know, these are all words, but does that answer your question okay, Stan? Okay. And then I'll turn the mic over to Steve.
Okay, thank you, Gina. Yeah, I guess when I was hearing you talk the last 20 minutes or so, I was hearing you notice a difference in what you seem to experience now and what you experienced in 2005. And I guess my question is, do you think you're doing something different, that you're experiencing something different, or is there something that you've done differently? Because in my seeming experience, I mean, you're still going to, you know, like your one message, you still see the world, like maybe a television that's on in the background, you're not paying attention to it. But I guess one of the, I mean, that exercise from, what was it, Luke chapter 22 or something like that, or whatever it was, and There's a similar exercise in the Doyle book where it says, if you ask or invite or have the willingness or the desire or give the invitation to the Holy Spirit, he can reinterpret, you know, for the person standing in front of you talking, either as the words come out of their mouth or as the words enter your ears. So it's really like, is it a message from the Holy Spirit or is it just your willingness or desire or your invitation to see things differently and to consistently ask to see things differently? Or is there something else that you do that helps you to get a different seeming experience or a different understanding of what you're seeing in front of you, you know, seemingly with your body's eyes? So I guess that's my question. I think that's the question. Here's the mic back. Thank you. Thanks for letting me ask a question.
In some ways, I'm doing something different, Steve, but in a real way, I'm not. You know, what I do, honestly, is I do my very, very, very best to practice what Holy Spirit is teaching me now. And in some ways, you could say that every day is different. Because, you know, as I listen to Holy Spirit from 2005 to today, the specific practice that Holy Spirit is asking me to practice today is not the same specific practice that He asked me to practice in 2005. So the specifics of the practice are different, but what's the same is that I listen to Holy Spirit every day, current. It's current information from Holy Spirit. I listen to Holy Spirit every day, and every day I do my very best to practice that. And, you know, if you use the analogy of the stairway to heaven, or, you know, I think one of Helen's books has a ladder. I haven't read anything but the Course. I haven't read the Song of Prayer, I think it's the Song of Prayer, I've heard, has a ladder where you go up the ladder to heaven and then the ladder disappears, I think people have told me. With me, Holy Spirit has used the analogy of a stairway to heaven. And as you go up the next step, the step that you were just on disappears. So as you are ascending into heaven, the stairways disappear. And so I think, you know, there is an experience. It's just an experience and no experience is real. But I think there is an experience of awakening. There is an experience of changing. There is, you know, you do experience things differently. Like in 2005, I would not have experienced someone's ego as meaningless. What would have happened in 2005 is if somebody got very angry at me, what would have happened in 2005 most likely is a lot of guilt and unworthiness would have come up in me. I was already beyond, you know, just getting mad back, you know, by 2005. But I would start seeing guilt and unworthiness come up in me, and I would have taken a time out, and I would have looked at my thoughts with Holy Spirit, and I would have practiced, you know, looking at my thoughts and noticing which thoughts were ego, and just labeling them of ego at that point. I hadn't even learned the Second Timothy practice, which we now call rest, accept, and trust. So there's a seeming advancement, yes. There's a seeming advancement. And as we get ready for the next step, Holy Spirit gives us the next step. And then there's a natural change in the way we see. So the things that would have upset me in 2005 wouldn't now. You know, like I said, somebody could get mad at me. I could see the ego in somebody. And I can literally sit there and have a friend mad at me and be totally okay with it in most cases. I don't want to say 100% of the time. Like I said, I can be caught at a wrong time, but most of the time I just love them. It doesn't change who they are. It doesn't change who I am because this experience, this ego experience is happening. So I hope that answered your question. And Stan, I saw you had your hand up again. Did you have something you wanted to say or were you done? Okay, maybe Stan is done. So I think I was about to tell you guys just a quick story. not a big story, but wait, I see another question. So seeing the ego in another has more to do with our own individual guilt? Yes. Is the solution to forgive ourselves? Yes. And I think, for me, I think of it more, even though it is forgiveness, it's no doubt forgiveness. I think of it more as a purification process, literally as we go within ourselves and we allow Holy Spirit to help us discover the unworthiness thoughts, the guilt thoughts, the fear thoughts, the judgment thoughts, all this crap in our mind that was really the cause of why we were upset. It never was because the person was, you know, mad at me. It was because of my thoughts that were triggered by that event. If we go in and look at these thoughts and learn to let these thoughts go, then as my mind, my thinking is purified, then I'm not bothered by the exact same circumstance and form. So then a friend can get mad at me, and I'm no longer bothered. I no longer even see the friend. I don't even see the friend in the same way. You know, like if it was a woman before, I might have thought she was a bit of a bitch, right? I don't see her as a bit of a bitch anymore. You know, I just don't. I just don't. All of that is like, it's just erased. And again, that's why it's called A Course in Miracles. You know, we just practice what Holy Spirit asks us to practice, and these changes occur naturally, because the truth is they are natural. When we see with the ego and we react with the ego, that's unnatural. So we're letting go of the unnatural. And as we let go of the unnatural, the natural comes back into being. And our natural beingness is just love. So we start experiencing that more frequently as we let go of the thoughts in our mind that were blocking that from our experience. Okay, so, Steve has his hand up again. Steve?
Yeah, I think this will be quicker maybe. It just seems like the more frequently that you do like it says in, I don't know if it was Luke chapter 9 or what it was, the more frequently you just rest and let that thought be healed, and rest and let that thought be healed, and rest and let that thought be healed, and rest and let that thought be healed, then it seems like it's kind of cumulative, and all of a sudden you react less when you see things with the body's eyes, and you don't even hardly have to ask to have that correction be healed. It seems like it becomes almost more automatic that you just allow Holy Spirit to reinterpret what you're seeing for you more frequently. At least that seems like what my experience is. And it seems like there's also a little bit of a cumulative effect, too, like you were saying, you might have asked and asked and asked, or at least that was my experience. I felt like I asked and asked and asked for 2 or 3 months, something like that, and then all of a sudden something really seemed more, a lot bigger or more intense or whatever came, and maybe it was like, you know, you've been asking right along, and all of a sudden without asking, this experience of the apple just seemed to show up, you know, so it just seems like that's my experience. The more frequently we ask to see things differently, you know, there's, I don't know how many different workbook lessons, above all else I want to see things differently, you know, and I want to see, in all these things, you know, I want to, in the second part, it says, see with, let Christ use my eyes today, let Holy Spirit use my eyes, let me use Jesus' eyes. It just seems like that the more frequently you do it, the easier and the quicker your perception seems to change. At least that seems to be my experience. I don't know if it's relating to anything what you're saying, but I think that's part of what I'm hearing you say, that you didn't specifically ask for the apple experience, but you had asked for enough things before that, and all of a sudden they just seemed to show up. So thanks for letting me ask. Here you go.
Yeah, I'd say that's it. And the only other thing I was going to say is there were two people in my life that were particularly challenging for me as I experienced the ego with them, both their ego and my ego reacting to their ego. So egos on both sides of the relationship. But I will tell you that even though those two relationships were particularly challenging for me, I now perceive them as my greatest relationships. Sorry, guys. No, for the purpose of healing. Obviously, my greatest relationships for the purpose of healing. And I feel like, although I'm sure there were lots of benefits in those relationships, I feel like one of the primary benefit was that through those two relationships, that's where I learned to what I call forgive the ego. So now I can literally see the ego full, you know, one of you guys could just like, fully, you could forget everything about Holy Spirit and just fully explode into ego and go into some, yeah, full blown. Thank you. That's the word I'm looking for. One of you guys could go into full blown ego and it would not affect me unless you happen to catch me during one of those bad days, which I don't have that often. But for the most part, it would not affect me. And by not affect me, I mean, it would not affect how I feel about myself. It would not affect about how I feel about you. It would just be something that was meaningless. And that's what happens when we forgive the ego. It just has no effect. Dory, please take the mic.
Thank you. I just wanted to chime in with Steve Uphoff on that, because since I've been holding on to above all else, I want to see things differently as a mantra, it has literally changed the way I look at everything about life and about relationships as well. And when I call upon that, call upon Holy Spirit and make that request on a daily basis, it really is keeping me on track. And, you know, Steve said something about literally seeing things more clearly. That is absolutely happening to me. It's almost like that there is a beacon of light that has literally changed the colors where they're brighter and the energy fields around things that I had never noticed before, even around people. And I must say also, there were several of us who saw an aura around you while you were speaking with David, and that was no small matter. But that's not to idealize you by any way so much as just to see that Holy Spirit was flowing through you clearly while you were speaking up there, and even while you were standing in silence listening to Holy Spirit. It was absolutely amazing. But for me, this when I combine the two mantras of above all else, I want to see things differently, and I combine that with David's special one. I don't know what anything is for. It has sure decreased greatly my reactivity to things in my environment, and it has even made me more proactive in my environment as I go from place to place, to just really be open to giving and extending love. And with that, I will be quiet. Thank you.
Thank you. It was great hearing you. I laughed and you said, with that, I'll be quiet. It cracked me up. But, you know, when I am teaching, my thinking mind is pretty much turned off. In fact, let me just give some examples of what it's like, because I know people have questioned, how can you speak? How can you form words if you're not thinking? But it happens. But I can give you examples, because every now and then my thinking mind will try to think while I'm teaching, and it just can't. It just can't, because the spirit flow is so strong. But like when I was on the stage with Dove, you know, when I was speaking, you know, obviously Holy Spirit is coming through me, because that's what happens when I pray and then turn it over to Holy Spirit. But then when I was listening, I was asking Holy Spirit to listen with me. And I think I told you guys that. So I was definitely with Holy Spirit. And at one time I noticed I was thirsty and I couldn't even pull my thinking mind together enough to remember which of the two glasses was mine. I couldn't even bring in that much thinking. You know, there were two glasses in front of me, and I knew I'd been drinking out of one, but I had no idea. So finally, I just said, to hell with it. I just drank, and I didn't care if Dove and I were drinking out of the same glass or different glasses. But that's how much the thinking mind is put aside. And sometimes when I'm teaching, the thinking mind will show up and say, like, what are you talking about? And I can't even answer it, because the flow is not going through the thinking enough for me to even stop and say, here's what I'm talking about. I just, like, I don't know. If I want to know what I'm talking about, I'll have to listen to the recording later. So it's clearly spirit, because the thinking doesn't have a chance when I'm speaking. Steve, I'm turning the mic over to you.
Yeah, I guess I just kind of wanted to piggyback on Dari, too, there about... Yeah, I did seem to notice, maybe it was halfway or a third of the way or two-thirds of the way through or whatever. I guess it was a third of the way through. It seemed like a little glow about an inch and a half or 2.5 up to 3 inches. But I seem to see it around, you know, the shoulders and down to the waist at least. Maybe that's as far as I look on both you and Dove when you were speaking on Friday night. But the other thing I wanted to say was what we were talking about. It's like, I mean, we hear like Candace Doyle's story about how she started hearing the voice when she said this lesson. And then we look in that book and there's another story about David Paul efforting and struggling and working and getting frustrated and all this stuff of trying to hear the voice conversationally for 10 years. And finally, Candace got a message from Holy Spirit telling David Palm to just open up his mouth and trust and wait and see what happened. And I think that's what the next step is. I mean, for some people, I think that's what I experienced most of the time. Just open up your mouth and just trust, if you trust, and just wait to see what comes out. And it seems like I've noticed a lot more people, you know, I think there's a lot of groundwork that's been laid in the one mind for the last 25 or 30 years that people have been studying the Course. And a lot of the people I know have only been in the whole Course 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years, the ones that I seem to be relating to the best. And what worked for me was, well, for me it was different. I just, one day at this Course in Miracles study group in Sheboygan at the Unity Church, I read this line, this third line in the everything they did. I mean, every day they started out dedicating their program or their sharing after they talked about, you know, the gossip in the Unity Church and stuff with, you know, I'm only here to be truly helpful. I'm here to represent Him who sent me. And then it was like when I said this line with intention, I don't have to worry about what to say or what to do because He who sent me will direct me. The thought came into my mind like, well, that'd be pretty cool not to have to worry about what to say or what to do because He who sent me will direct me. And you give your desire, your intention, or willingness to doing that, and you just open up your mouth and you just be the observer, you know. Like I happen to be watching and I Dream of Genie today, and this guy that I've been sharing with a half a dozen friends with lately, or more maybe, about Artie Johnson. He had a little door on the Laugh-In, and for some reason he was there with the announcer and some other woman on Genie, and he was saying that famous line that I use a lot, you know, maybe from Eckhart Tolle's book or whatever, and I've heard it there too, but he's got that German accent. He says, very interesting. And I saw him do it on television today, and I thought, like, yeah, that really looks cool. And you know, David Paul, after 10 years of frustration, just got a message, open up your mouth and see what comes out and just trust. And it's been working for him ever since. So I know in the beginning, like with Helen and Candace, a lot of people, and Barbara Varley, too, you hear the words at first and you painstakingly repeat them, but when it moves to the next, like, say, rung on the ladder, you just open up your mouth and you just wait and see what happens. And people react, that's their gift. If they don't, you know, but 9 times out of 10, someone will come up to me and say, like, well, thank you for sharing that. I was thinking about sharing that, and I was afraid to, or those thoughts were in my mind, too, and I didn't express them out loud. And in my experience, you just trust, you know, and you're content to be wherever He wishes, and knowing they're going, you're with me. But when I heard that line and I said it out loud with intention, it seemed like everything changed for me. That seemed to be my experience. So thank you for letting me share again, and thank you, Dory, for your sharing, too, and Stan and everybody else that's here. Appreciate it. Here you go.
And Dory, you're up again. Please take the mic.
Thank you. Once again, I've got to go right along with Stevie and both yourself on that, because there are times that I hear the words coming out my mouth, and they're just cascading out on flowing with the Spirit. And it's not a wisdom that I had ever sat and thought out. It just comes out. And I really don't have any control over it. And that's fine with me, because if it keeps coming out like that, I'll go for it. That's fine. And sometimes I just want to stop and say, was that me? No, that wasn't me. That's for sure that wasn't me, because I didn't know that. You know, sometimes something comes out and I think about it and I go, wow, I didn't know that. Where'd that come from? And that's all I've got. Thank you.
And Steve, I'm giving the mic to you again.
Okay, it's easy when you're just passing the mic, huh? Yeah, I just wanted to share, when you were talking about that, Dory, when you say that, it's like you don't even think those words are in your heart. When I heard it in 2004, like I said, it was a very, very intense experience. I was at an intensive with David Hoffmeister in Portage, Wisconsin. And then when the Holy Spirit was explaining to me what happened, he used these words, and I bet you I had to ask 10 or 15 times what the words were. And right now I'm asking again what the words were, because it's not coming to me. But it says, like, he says, this is the words he used. He said, this is the total embodiment of all the attack thoughts in that process. And I heard those words, and I knew it wasn't for me, because I've never put words together in a sentence using the word total embodiment. And this has happened a dozen or 2 dozen times since then, you know. I hear words, you know, I heard a question one time, and then it says, after the question, it said, and what was helpful to that end? And it's like, I don't talk like that. Those words never came out of my mouth. My personality doesn't fit those words. I mean, those words don't even fit my personality. They're not even in my vocabulary, you know. And I know Regina's had some scribing experience where she used words and she didn't know what Holy Spirit meant, so he went and looked them up in the dictionary and found it was the third or fourth definition that was listed in the dictionary. So that was a key element of it to me, was hearing those words, like, total embodiment of all tact thoughts. And it was like, where the heck did that, I mean, I could use a different word, but where the bleep did that come from, you know? And it's like, I don't even think like that, you know? And even the experience was like, when I had the experience, it was like, I don't even wake up this way. This is not how I wake up. You know, it was 4:30 in the morning, and I said, like, I told myself I went to bed at 12:30, I could sleep till 8 or 8:30 and get up and go. And like, I don't wake up wide awake and alert at 4:30 in the morning, and I argued for an hour. Anyway, that was my experience, so thanks for letting me share again. It's like when I use words that I've never even heard myself come out of my mouth before, it's like I know something else is going on. That's just what helped me to identify it or recognize it anyway. Because I know I never put a word together, I mean a sentence together with total embodiment of anything, you know, or what was helpful to that end. It's just when things come up, it's like, I know that's not my personality speaking because my personality has never used those words before. So thanks again for letting me share. Here's the mic back.
Well, and of course, what we're demonstrating right now is exactly what we were talking about, even though we haven't gotten very far into this message. You know, the demonstration is fabulous. You know, make this year different by making it all the same. And, you know, what we are showing, especially through this dance of, you know, Regina, Steve, or Stevie, as it says, and Dory, and I'm sure it's going on in everyone else's minds, what we're showing is that it really is the same. We have these same experiences, of sharing wisdom, sharing language that would not come from us, from the personality us, and knowing its Holy Spirit. So, I think it's a pretty cool demonstration since we're talking about make this year different by making it all the same. We can erase these ideas that we are different, because we are not. Not only do we all experience Holy Spirit, but we literally all experience the same ego. You know, like when I was talking about my friend earlier who feels offended when people tell him something from the Course, you know, without his asking, you know, seemingly correcting him, or they think they know what's best for him. He feels offended. I know we've all felt that, you know, like others were putting themselves above us or putting us down. So you see, we all share that same ego too. So we really are completely the same. And as we see that a lot more than the unevenness that we originally had, where some people were higher and some people were lower, you know, that unevenness gets erased and we all end up on the same level. Walking together to awakening, and that just makes my heart open. Dove, I'm going to turn the mic over to you.
Okay, thank you so much, Regina. It's amazing. I know that you weren't listening to what I was sharing here earlier, but a good portion of what I shared in the hour earlier was pretty much the same, that actually I spoke about that same one-liner, make this year different by making it all the same. And we have all kinds of judgments on all kinds of things. Like I mentioned, so many of us actually believe, I'm talking about myself, of course, you know, that you can tell if a person is talking the talk and he's not walking the walk. And we say that so easily that we don't even realize that what we're really saying is that this person is different. That this person is saying one thing and they're doing another. And the only thought system or only teacher that sees differences, like, well, he talks the talk, but he doesn't walk his talk, would be the ego. Only the ego sees differences. And that's such a subtle thing, and we do it all the time. We say, well, I know he knows the Course, but he doesn't live the Course. And it came up in another place for me. I shared that here earlier, is, you know, we have this idea that we're talking to the choir, you know, like, well, I'm talking to the choir, like the choir is different than everybody else. They've read the Course, nobody else had. actually only the ego makes a distinction between who read the course and who doesn't. So, you know, all these little subtleties just creep into our thought system and we live them out thinking that, oh, I know, and of course we don't really know anything. We don't know who we are. How the hell am I know who my brother is? I'd like to share a little on your what you just mentioned just now, which of course you mentioned earlier, how we can't hear a brother telling us something. I thought that was such a beautiful example, Regina, how the same person might hear it in a song or see it in a movie and say, wow, that's so great. The Holy Spirit is speaking to me in songs and music and movies and wherever I go. But if a brother comes along and says the same thing, that's an insult. Now, the Course is really very clear, you know. The greatest obstacle to peace, the last obstacle, the four obstacles, is the fear of God. But no one goes through life saying, I'm afraid of God. But he does that. Nobody says, I'm afraid of God. And exactly as you said here earlier, I'm always speaking to God. God is all there is. God is, there's no time, place, or state that God is absent. So whenever I'm speaking to my brother, I'm speaking to God. And there's a line in the Course that says, the way you know that you're afraid of God is that you're afraid of your brother. You are in fear of your brother. Now, why are we in fear of our brother? Because we have judged him. Once you judge a brother, once you place a judgment, you are afraid of the judgment, the double-edged sword, that, you know, that vengeance is going to come back at you. You've judged him, you've killed him off, and now he's going to kill you off. So, of course we can't hear a brother anymore. Once you judge a brother, you can't hear him anymore. You can't hear the... If you had a judgment against Jesus, you couldn't hear anything that Jesus said to you. If you had a judgment against anything, you can't hear it. That's why it's so easy to hear Jesus in the Course, because we don't have any judgments on him. Some people still have judgments on him, but once you let go of your judgments on Jesus, you can hear it. But the same thing said by your brother, who is Jesus, by the way, there's no difference between Jesus and your brother standing next to you, is that you can't hear it in the brother because you already made a judgment on him. And that's the law of perception. We only hear what we want to hear. We only see what we want to see according to the dictates of the teacher and the thought system that I'm listening to. Once I made a judgment, I'm in prison. I'm listening to the ego's thought system. There's no way out. The only way out is forgiveness, to let it go, to just let it go. Just literally step aside and allow the spirit in me to join with the spirit in my brother. Thanks so much.
Thank you. And yeah, I got an easy job tonight. Steve, I'm passing the mic to you now.
Yeah, I think this was something that came to my mind when I was listening to Dartha share last night, but it's on my favorite page. It's never my favorite page, but the number is my favorite, page 27. It says, when we're talking about healing, which is what we're doing with our mind, it says, healing is an ability that was developed after the separation before which it was unnecessary. Like all aspects of the belief in space and time, it is temporary. However, as long as time persists, or seems to, healing is needed as a means of protection. This is because healing rests on charity, and this is one of the only places that I know of that he talks about charity a lot. And charity is a way of perceiving the perfection of another, even if you cannot perceive it in yourself. It says, most of the loftier concepts which you are capable of now are time-dependent. So in sentence 6 here in paragraph 9 it says, which is the function of the miracle worker, section 5 in chapter 2, it says, charity is really a weaker reflection of a much more powerful love encompassment that is far beyond any form of charity you can conceive of as yet. Charity is essential to right-mindedness in the limited sense in which it can now be attained. And the next paragraph says, charity is a way, and I know you got a message like this when Holy Spirit told you to see everybody as healed and stuff like that. It says, charity is a way of looking at another as if he had already gone far beyond his actual accomplishments in time. Which is, to me, I think, the way Holy Spirit looks at it. But I'll read that one again. It says, Charity is a way of looking at another as if he had already gone far beyond his actual accomplishments in time. And it seems to me I'm remembering, you know, Holy Spirit telling you that you were supposed to try to see everybody as healed already in one of your messages in the past, you know. But it is, one more time with this sentence, charity is a way of looking at another as if he had already gone far beyond his actual accomplishments in time. Since his own thinking is faulty, which I mean, if we're acting from the ego, our thinking is always faulty, he cannot see the atonement for himself, or he would have no need for charity. The charity that is accorded to him is both an acknowledgement that he needs help and a recognition that he will accept it. And I think that's all I wanted to read there, but it's the idea of, you know, trying to see our brother as the Holy Spirit sees him as not needing help, as doing the best he can and being perfectly aligned with his path and in the flow and stuff like that. So I always like that one section of charity. Maybe there's other places it's in there, but that's the place that I've been marking my book. So I think it's like one of those messages that you got that one time that said, and Dave Hodges isn't here anyway, as far as I know, so you have a soft cushion at the end of this, or there's nobody following you. And we're offering charity because we really, that's how we want to see ourselves, see ourselves as the light of the world. And if we can see the light in our brother, then we can see that it's maybe in us. So thank you for letting me share again. Here's the mic back.
Well, thank you very much. And my time is actually up. Is Zen Froggy, is that Fred? Is that who Zen Froggy is? But I'm noticing Zen Froggy has commented a couple of times tonight. Wow, you guys. I love the wow, you guys. Yeah, it's Fred. Okay. Fred is saying, wow, you guys, I'm just totally blown away by forgiving the ego. I've looked past it in others, overlooked it in me, but this ego was so afraid of forgiveness, it blinded me. Forgiving it goes all the way back to the Big Bang and undoes the very reason it was created. And that's absolutely true. I'm completely blown away by this. And I share your joy because, you know, because I think the very first time I got it, that the ego wasn't bad. Major aha. It's a major aha. So congratulations, Fred, on the awakening. Also, I saw up above Dory was saying that her boss in the tax office actually lets her listen to ACIM Gather at the office nowadays, and in fact occasionally asks her to turn it up when he wants to hear. I thought that was great. And Teddy, I can see Teddy's joy overflowing even though he hasn't had the mic. He says, you guys have no idea how important it is to claim the truth about you hearing and listening to what the Holy Spirit says to you as a way of life. It's a bigger advancement than just about anything that has happened. It's a New Testament. So, you know, a few of us have had the mic tonight and a few of us have been speaking, but it looks like everybody's on fire. Teddy's on fire. Fred's on fire. Steve's on fire. Dory's on fire. There's just fire everywhere. And then tomorrow, now who is, Brionson, I don't know, but tomorrow you get to do laundry. Congratulations. You're going to fold your towels with Holy Spirit. Congratulations on that. Yeah, it's been a great night. Now, the message that we were supposedly reading, we only got through the first two paragraphs. So next time I come back for Holy Spirit Guides, I'll probably quickly read the first two paragraphs as just a review, and then we'll continue on with this message. So thank you guys. I'm back tomorrow at 1 o'clock, 1 to 2:30, and I will be reading the next message in the Inner Ramana series then. So see you guys. Love you. Good night.